On Tuesday, Kansas Geological Survey scientists reported that the aquifer levels in parts of western Kansas that rely on groundwater for everything from drinking to irrigation fell more than a foot last year. Earlier this month, the Kansas Geological Survey completed its annual campaign to measure the Ogallala Aquifer, which supplies the western one-third of the state with water. And the Ogallala, the largest underground store of fresh water in the nation, has been declining for decades because of overuse to irrigate crops in otherwise arid parts of the state. According to preliminary data presented to the Kansas House Water Committee, aquifer levels in the groundwater management area covering southwest Kansas fell by 1.52 feet between January 2024 and this month, a larger drop than the 1.43 foot decline the year before. Western Kansas's management area saw a half foot decline, on par with the year before. Northwest Kansas, which has been struggling with dry conditions, saw the aquifer decline 1.34 feet, a far more significant drop than the 0.47 foot drop between January 2023 and 2024. Jay Kalbus, the director of the survey, said the figures are preliminary and the Kansas Geological Survey's official report will be out in a few weeks. Kansas Senator Jerry Moran, alongside other colleagues, has introduced a bill to give a permanent tax deduction to small businesses. Currently, under Section 199A of the Internal Revenue Code of 1986, businesses that qualify see a 20% tax break, and the section was created in 2017 as part of then-President Donald Trump's tax cuts for small businesses and large corporations. Moran said Kansas small businesses support rural and urban communities across the state, so by making this small business tax break permanent, businesses across the nation will be able to remain open, retain hardworking employees, and help the areas around them thrive. The proposed bill, the Main Street Tax Certainty Bill Act, would remove a section that would see the tax breaks expire by December 31, 2025. As according to a press release from Moran's office, 9 out of 10 small businesses would be hit with the tax hike if the deduction expires. South Dakota Senator and Senate Majority Leader John Thune said this legislation is critical to permanently extending a key provision from the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act and ensuring small businesses and farms and ranches are not hit with the crippling tax hike at the end of 2025. Moran, Thune, and 33 Republicans in Congress introduced the bill. The Kansas 988 Coordinating Council released data for the 988 Lifeline in the state, and the council created the report for the 2025 Kansas Legislature with support from the Kansas Health Institute, or KHI. The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, or 988 Lifeline, was started in 2022 to create a shift in how the United States addresses behavioral health crisis by simplifying access to support. It replaced the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline number with the 988 number to provide immediate accessible resources for anyone in distress. 988 offers 24/7 access to trained crisis counselors who help people experiencing mental health-related distress, including thoughts of suicide, mental health or substance use crisis, and/or any other kind of emotional distress. Kansas has 5 centers handling calls, and the findings in Kansas from the data collected includes that the 988 Lifeline in Kansas experienced growth in call volume and infrastructure during year 2. In year 2, Kansas saw a slight drop in the percentage of calls answered in the state. Chat and text service showed different answer patterns from call services, with in-state rates around 45% for chats and 51% for texts in July 2024. And the data indicated higher call volumes during the summer months. If you or someone you know is in crisis, call, text, or chat to the number 988 for help. In Nebraska news, according to the Red Willow County District Court records, 47-year-old James Hicks of Palisade was sentenced to 30 to 35 years in prison on one count of first-degree sexual assault, a Class 2 felony, and he was given credit for 242 days served. According to the arrest affidavit, last March, the McCook Police Department began an investigation into a possible sexual relationship between Hicks and a girl who was 14 years old at the time. An officer said a review of the girl's phone revealed sexually explicit text messages. The affidavit also said a woman was interviewed by McCook Police who told officers she found Hicks and the girl together in bed. In October 2023, the affidavit said Hicks' probation officer told McCook police Hicks admitted to sexually assaulting the teen, and then on November 8, 2023, the affidavit says the teen was interviewed by police and stated that she and Hicks had sex multiple times. Hicks was listed as a 25-year sex offender after being convicted in Hitchcock County in 2020 of enticement by electronic communication device. He was sentenced to 90 days in jail on that charge. In the recent case, Hicks was ordered to register for life as a sex offender upon his release from prison due to his previous criminal history. According to Lancaster County court documents, Jeremiah Ehlers was arrested on Monday on suspicion of felony theft by deception. In the arrest affidavit warrant, a deputy with the Nebraska Department of Revenue said Ehlers claimed the top prize of a scratch ticket worth $300,000 on April 12, 2024. Ehlers was paid out $213,000 after taxes. On April 23rd, the company that owns the Greeley Rapid Stop, where Ehlers worked as a store manager, notified the Nebraska Lottery about a theft. The company provided investigators with surveillance video that showed Ehlers playing the winning scratch ticket before paying for it. After the winning ticket was validated, Ehlers paid for it, which authorities said was a violation of state law. Investigators put a freeze on Ehlers' bank accounts for $128,769.31. Ehlers had spent the rest of the money on two vehicles, contractor services, and payoffs to creditors, according to the affidavit. An arrest warrant for Ehlers was issued on January 3rd, and he was taken into custody on Monday. The American Heart Association, or AHA, is asking for a new law in Kansas that would require specialized training for 911 operators to teach them how to guide you through CPR over the phone. And that's so you can help until the ambulance arrives, because the AHA says every second matters in cardiac events. It's called TCPR, and only about half of Kansas counties currently have their 911 operators trained in it. The AHA says getting CPR as soon as possible can double, even triple, the chances of surviving a cardiac event. The only opposition to the idea came from the Kansas Sheriff's and Police Chiefs Associations. They primarily objected to having the state's 911 board put in charge of the training. The other main objection was the idea that this would be an unfunded mandate, though supporters say there are cheap, possibly even no-cost ways to complete the training, such as by having local EMS set it up. To date, the AHA says 20 states have passed such requirements into law. The Kansas Wildlife and Parks Commission will hold its first public meeting of 2025 tomorrow, Thursday, January 30th, at the K-State Alumni Center in Manhattan. The meeting will begin at noon and continue until all the agenda items are addressed. The meeting will open with a report from the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks, during which commissioners will hear about regulations currently in promulgation. And following the department report, commissioners will take comments on non-agenda items, receive updates on the agency's fiscal status, and hear a legislative briefing. Commissioners will then hear about informational items that includes the 2025 Commission Big Game Permit Program, to include the live drawing, quail eye worm research, review of the prohibition of trail cameras on public lands, and night vision coyote hunting season. A general discussion on the 2025-2026 waterfowl season dates and bag and possession limits will follow, and workshop session items, topics that may be voted on in the future, will also be discussed. They include the 2025 deer seasons on military units and big game regulations. The public is encouraged to attend either in person or virtually to share their thoughts on these informational items or other related topics. Wildlife officials are particularly interested in hearing public opinion about the coyote night vision season, which was introduced in 2021 and currently runs from January 1st through March 31st. The regulation allows hunters to use artificial light and thermal imaging equipment during the season, with an additional $2.50 night vision equipment permit that is required to participate. No changes to the coyote night vision season have been proposed at this time. However, the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks staff are gathering feedback to ensure it continues to meet the needs and expectations of Kansans. The regular coyote fur harvesting and hunting season in Kansas is open year-round, with no limit on the number of coyotes that can be taken. The meeting will conclude with an additional opportunity for public comment on non-agenda items. Attendees can participate in the meetings in person or virtually, and the instructions for joining by Zoom, phone, or live streaming are available at ksoutdoors.com under the Instructions to Participate in Virtual Meeting tab. And those who wish to provide input but are unable to attend the meeting may fill out the Contact All Commissioners form. The next commission meeting is scheduled for Thursday, March 27th at the Topeka and Shawnee County Library in Topeka. The Kansas Department of Health and Environment announced its reaccreditation by the Public Health Accreditation Board, or PHAB, for the next 5 years, extending through 2029. and this achievement reaffirms the Kansas Department of Health and Environment's dedication to meeting the highest national standards for quality and performance in public health services. Reaccreditation follows a rigorous peer-reviewed process to assess the Kansas Department of Health and Environment against the PHAB's national standards, demonstrating its capacity to evolve, improve, and effectively address the health needs of Kansas communities. PHAB, a nonprofit organization supported by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, works to advance and transform public health practice through accreditation. Their program sets benchmarks for quality and performance improvement, helping health departments build infrastructure, bolster community engagement, and address differences in health among groups of people. The Kansas Department of Health and Environment first achieved PHAB accreditation in 2017 and has regularly prioritized programs that improve community health, enhance quality management, and deepen public engagement. Moving forward, the agency will focus on sustainability efforts, including regular assessments, training, and fostering ongoing dialogue with communities through focus groups and public health projects. To learn more about the Kansas Department of Health and Environment's public health initiatives and this important milestone, you can visit kdhe.ks.gov.